This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
George Will wrote a great piece over the weekend that I was reading, and he basically said Democrats are... Let me paraphrase it by saying this, because George Will's a very smart guy. He's also not a fan of Trump. You probably might know that. Democrats are completely blowing it. He doesn't want them to win. I think he would probably, if it were up to him, probably go third party or something. I don't know. But I'm pointing this out to you because I always like to find people that are not, you know, flag wavers or pom-pom wavers and that sort of thing, just to get their assessment of things. I think it's interesting. It's much more interesting to me. Anybody can, obviously, on Fox, say Democrats are disasters, except for Shepard Smith and Chris Wallace, but, well, I mean, you know. But I can tell you that when somebody else who's not really a big fan of the president says it, Houston, you've got a problem. Houston? Superman 2. Anyway, the point is that the Democrats are completely blowing it this early on, and it's so bad, some people think maybe that this is all a ruse, so that somebody else can enter the race. Maybe it's just that they're setting up Michelle Obama. I mean, I've heard that theory. Maybe you've heard that theory too. That this can't possibly now be the actual group of candidates because they're doing just so badly. This is so bad. Like, for example, Cory Booker, Spartacus, Count Grand Stangelo, Spartacus. He was in Mexico, right? Goes to Mexico. He hugged babies. He walked previously deported illegal aliens across the U.S. border into El Paso. And some people were saying, why don't they arrest the guy? He's bringing people over the border because he wants to get arrested. That's the thing. He would love that. I'll tell you one thing, and this is the truth here. They're illegal aliens right there, previously deported from the United States. So there's Cory Booker, Count Grand Stangelo, Spartacus Booker. He goes down there, and he's down there with them, and he walks them back over the border. And everybody says, why is he not? They arrest this guy. What is he doing? If I did that, I'd be arrested. You'd be arrested. What is he doing? But he wants to get arrested. And what he wants to do is he wants to write a remember how he always quotes this letter from a Birmingham jail from Dr. Martin Luther King? He always does. It's one of his big things. He wants to go to jail over this important thing. He's got nothing going for him as a presidential candidate. He's a Jersey senator, as you know, and he's not doing well in the polls. He's a gigantic hype machine. He is. Cory Booker's very good at hype. He's not the same guy who used to be the mayor of Newark because his policies have all changed, but so he's playing this kind of act. But he's shaking hands with Border Patrol agents and saying hello and everything like this. And then he gets asked a question about why'd you say you wanted to abolish ICE? And he walked it back and said, I never said that. I didn't say that. That wasn't me. That must have been somebody else. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that walking back stuff happening within Democrats. This whole idea of, well, I didn't really say that. Kamala Harris raised her hand in the Democrat debate when they asked, who wants to get rid of private health insurance? She raised her hand. And then the next day she said, I misheard the question. I thought they said, who wants to get rid of their private health insurance? Which she doesn't have because she's a U.S. senator, so she has public health insurance, obviously. Which you pay for. But she walked that back too. And Joe Biden is walking back the busing thing every chance he gets. Now, a lot of people believe you can be against busing and not be a racist. How do I mean that? Well, because the idea of the government coming in and taking your kids and busing them across town for the, I guess you could say, good goal of integrating schools is the kind of social engineering that ends up in a disaster. It's the kind of thing that ends up not working. And you could also say the government should not be busing my kids across town and then putting them in new schools and making things uncomfortable and awkward. Doesn't mean you're racist. As George Will points out, when the busing issue was going on back then, less than 10% of African Americans liked the idea of doing it. It was even single digits, like 6 or 7%. Nobody was happy about it back then. It was done by well-meaning liberals in Washington who said, this is how we're going to integrate society and make society better. There were a lot of unintended consequences of that, of course. For example, people who said, well, this is how the other half lives, and then there were class disputes, that sort of thing. People who didn't want to have to go to a new school, because a lot of people after a certain period of time don't want to go to a new school. And there were lots of issues that were going on. You know, parent kids would come home and now they feel the pressure because they're around kids whose parents make more money and they want better clothes. And you know, the parents, it was not, in many cases, something that the people said, this is great. But if you say that, you're immediately branded a racist. You go, well, why would you not support integrating schools? It's not that. Just people didn't support the idea of this forced busing social engineering concept. Again, if you look at the data, and this is just the data, you look back then, you look at the time in which we were living and what was going on, and as George Will points out, it was incredibly unpopular. But now, flash forward all these years later, all Joe Biden does is apologize for it. He doesn't stand up and say, look, I was listening to my constituents, both black and white. They didn't like the idea of doing this. They didn't want to send their kids across town. They didn't want to send their kids on buses a half hour away. This is the way they felt about it. I was always for integrating schools, but people thought there were better approaches to integrating schools, like school choice, for example, which is something that Cory Booker used to support. Yeah. See, when he was mayor of Newark, when he ran on running as mayor of Newark, he was big time in a school choice, which has always been a very strong conservative idea, right? The idea that it's your money, you should be able to send your kid to whatever school you want to send your kid to. And that you could end things like segregation in schools and that sort of thing if people had the economic means to be able to do it. And what I mean by that is whatever you pay in property taxes, you get that as a check, a voucher, whatever. You use that at the school of your choice. And that's been a conservative position. It's been in the Republican platform for years. It's something the President Trump supports. It's something every president has Republican supported, but something that the teachers union has always opposed, vehemently opposed. Why, you might ask? Well, money, because it means less money theoretically for the public schools. Because a lot of people would take that check, that voucher, whatever, they'd go to a Catholic school, they'd go to a Quaker school. They would not go to the public school, or they'd go to a public school, but it just wouldn't be the one in their town. It might be the one a town over. So the teachers union has always been against it. They've fought charter schools. They fought all of it. Some people back then suggested that that was the better way to integrate schools, school choice, not putting kids on buses and driving them, in some cases, an hour to go to another school. And this idea of, okay, now be friends, everybody be friends now and pretend like this never happened, was not going to be the best strategy. But if you explain that, as I just did, especially in the Democrat Party today as you're running for president, you're immediately branded a racist. And so instead of pushing back on that and saying, that's silly, that's ridiculous to suggest that, Joe Biden apologizes for it. Joe Biden apologizes and says, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And what happens when Kamala Harris stands up and goes, I was that kid who was helped by busing. I was that kid. And all Joe Biden can do is stand up there like a dope and say, well, yeah, I'm so sorry. And their strategy of flip-flopping and changing their position on things is so incredibly stupid because it looks like none of them have an actual backbone. George Will's column, this is very good. Many Democrats striving to replace Donald Trump are paying him the sincerest form of flattery, imitation. What does he mean by that? He means that they're out there just trying to get attention at any way possible. When Kamala Harris, the senator from California, was asked a question about abolishing private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan, the question was, quote, many people watching at home have health insurance through their employer. Who here would abolish their private insurance in favor of a government-run plan? Kamala Harris raised her hand as quickly as Senator Elizabeth Warren, who did the night before, and said, I'm with Bernie Sanders. The next morning on MSNBC, Harris said, no, I do not support ending private health insurance, saying that she misheard the question. And she's also now said on many, many occasions that she wants to get rid of private health insurance. But she keeps trying to change her mind on this because she flip-flops. And when you ask yourself the other question, too, why do you keep flip-flopping? It's because it's the problem that the Democrats find themselves in today. To win the nomination, they have to go to the far left. Their base wants it. But these positions are not popular in the mainstream of a general election. There are a lot of people who have strong opinions on the left. There are a lot of people who have strong opinions on the right. There are many people that have a little bit of both. But in a general election, nobody really votes for extremes. They really don't. People, obviously, primary voters do. But for a lot of Americans who just come out every 4 years, they're not looking for extreme positions on things. They're looking for other qualities, good economy, leadership, that sort of thing. So a lot of these positions just simply don't play in the general election. Will writes this. He says, nothing did more to fuel the conservative ascendancy in the 1980s and the 1970s enthusiasm of some judges and politicians for the compulsory busing of other people's children away from their neighborhood schools, assigning children to schools on the basis of skin color in order to engineer a desired racial balance. In a 1973 Gallup poll, just 4% of whites and 9% of blacks chose busing from among a variety of means of achieving integration. Kamala Harris chose this issue as to just bludgeon Joe Biden on the debate stage. Joe Biden, evidently lacking the courage of what was supposedly his convictions at one point, had neither the gumption or the mental nimbleness to ask whether, as president, she would favor reviving the compulsory busing of children away from their homes that many parents, black and white, purchased because of their proximity to desirable neighborhood schools. So he's trying to contortion himself. And this is what happens, right? They say, well, that's racist. And you go, no, there were other ways to achieve this, but this was not the only way. Well, you didn't support that way, so now you're racist. And Joe Biden has to do the old flip-flop. I'm sorry, I'm walking it back. I'm sorry, I'm walking it back. And I don't know, as he does this, they've seen an opening to keep branding him now as a guy who is, in fact, a racist, which is amazing. And then, of course, he praised the segregationists, as Chris Matthews calls them, the Seggies. And he praised them. And so now he's got to walk that back, too. And he says he was wrong to give that impression. Wrong to give the impression that he was praising the Seggies. In Joe Biden's defense now here, he actually uses the word, he doesn't say Seggies like Chris Matthews did on MSNBC. Cut three.
Now, was I wrong a few weeks ago to somehow give the impression to people that I was praising those men who I successfully opposed time and again? Yes, I was. I regret it. And I'm sorry for any of the pain or misconception they may have caused anybody. Should that misstep define 50 years of my record for fighting for civil rights, racial justice in this country? I hope not. I don't think so. That just isn't an honest assessment of my record. And I'm going to let my record and my character stand for itself and not be distorted or smeared.
And yet he keeps changing his record and his character. And that's the problem. He keeps changing everything. So Count Grantstangelo, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band, Cory Booker, he's very frustrated. Very frustrated this took so long.
I'm frustrated that it took so long, but I'm grateful for him doing this. We can't have a leader that can't stand up and say, I've been imperfect.
I mean, did I not set the clip up, Greg, appropriately?
You did.
Did I not I set this up?
I mean, there was really no...
I'm frustrated that it took so long.
Let me set it up again. Ready? Now, Cory Booker is frustrated that Biden's apology took so long.
I'm frustrated that it took so long, but I'm grateful for him doing this. We can't have a leader that can't stand up and say, I've been imperfect, I made mistakes, and I apologize. So I'm sorry we had to go through all this. I'm sorry at one point he tried to shift blame to me, but I'm grateful. I just want to say thank you. We need to extend grace to each other, and I'm never going to not accept somebody I respect and admire that finally has come to terms with this and has apologized.
I had tears of rage.
Now he's got grace. Tears of race and tears of, what is it now? Tears of rage and tissues of grace. I think that is tears of rage and tissues of grace. Yeah, it's happy tissues or?
Oh no.
No, they're no. Tears of they're tears of grace tissues. That's what they are.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.